You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Good morning. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Buck, and Kevin Butenoff coming to you live from our home at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and the thing that used to be Twitter. It's Friday, so Dan Schaefer will be here, creator of this the Recombobulation Area, also Civic Media's political editor. Many things to talk about with Schaefer.
Yes, indeed.
Certainly lots of Wisconsin things in the news, and uniforms, I understand, also one thing we're going to touch upon.
We are?
Aren't we?
I don't think so.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, we might.
Do we need to?
There's a lot of buzz about that.
Is there need to be? Like, there's things going on in the world.
For audience.
And I'm a Brewers fan.
I know. You are an outlier, I think.
I just don't care. Like, it looks weird, but I've moved on. Apparently not, but I haven't moved on from the not moving on. That's the thing.
All right. Well, we'll talk about that a little bit later on. With Dan Schaefer, he will be here after the 9:30 news. In hour number two for our audio sorbet segment today, very excited. We did this last year. Lori Leshman is a booster for the Waukesha South Band.
The Black Shirt Band.
The Black Shirt Band, exactly. Yep. And so they're having their cookie walk. Their annual cookie walk is happening in Waukesha tomorrow. Mm-hmm. And this is an opportunity for you to get your hands on some wonderful baked treats.
Yes.
And at the same time, support the Waukesha South Band. As we know, with public schools having budget issues, a lot of the things that tend to get cut first are extracurriculars.
Yes. Oh, yeah. And a lot of times
the theater
arts.
Arts programs and certainly the band. And band boosters have been around for a long time, but it's a really important part of the experience.
Yeah, I agree. I was in the band in high school. Arts in high school. Like, those things are important. And when the football team gets a brand new playing field that costs a lot of money, and then they're like, we're cutting theater or cutting your budget. Yeah. Cool.
Yeah. So let's help support the Waukesha South Band, the Black Shirts.
Mm-hmm.
The Black Shirts.
Yes.
Lori Leshman and a couple of students also who are in the band are going to be joining us for audio sorbet today after the 10:30 news. We'll wrap up the show as we always do with this shouldn't be a thing. Today it's the baby seal walks into a bar edition. That's pretty much everything you need to know there.
Yep.
That's
well, have a good day, folks.
Yeah, all right. We'll see you on Monday. No, that's coming up at the very end of the show. Stick around for that. It is the end of our first week.
Yes.
Of the statewide multi-state text to win adult gift lift gift list contest. Man, my ability
you are
to
done.
Speak.
You are in senioritis mode and not senior citizen, like senior in high school. You are out. You've packed your locker.
And I'm done
for
the year.
Yep.
Right?
Wow.
I'm already on vacation, apparently. Yes, our grown-up gift list multi-state text win contest is underway. Every day, we are playing for $200 in cash and your chance at three grand prizes, one of three grand prizes, including a brand new snowblower, a stainless steel cookware set, or a portable air conditioner. But you must have the Civic Media app in order to take part. So open up your phone.
Gotcha.
Open up the Civic Media app.
Not you, Dan Schaefer.
No, can't do that. Pick your favorite station. For example, WAUK. That would be a good choice. And then text in the word.
What?
Flake.
There it is.
F-L-A-K-E. Flake is the word until 10 o'clock. You want to text that in via the Civic Media app. That is the keyword for this hour. You have to enter the word flake, F-L-A-K-E, by 10 o'clock. And then you're in the running again for that $200 in cash and one of those three great grand prizes. Tom Hartman will have the next word for you in the 11 o'clock hour. And then in the 1 o'clock hour. But right now, the word is flake. Might be a comment on our show. You think flaky?
Oh, my God.
Just
whatever.
Throwing it out there.
Whatever.
F-L-A-K-E. Flake is the word. Text in the word flake. You have until 10 o'clock. And good luck.
All right.
Wanted to start off with some, sit down, everybody, some good news. What? Yes, there is some actual good news. We'll take it where we can find it.
Okay.
Right? Wisconsin Public Radio, Beatrice Lawrence has the byline. $1 billion in federal funds aims to deliver broadband to every last location in Wisconsin.
That's very important.
They've been waiting for this in parts of the state for a long time.
Yeah.
State Broadband and Digital Equity Director says this is a huge deal. Evers administration announcing this week, Wisconsin got more than $1 billion in federal money courtesy of the bipartisan infrastructure law signed under President Biden.
And not voted on by Tom Tiffany, who was running for governor.
Or any of the Republicans Wisconsin.
No.
They love to go stand next to the results.
But they don't vote for
that. But they don't vote for that.
Correct.
But they'll go stand by the Blotnick Bridge. They'll go stand by whatever project this money is helping to fund that they did not vote for.
Mm-hmm.
But again, this is a good thing. $1 billion in federal money for broadband internet projects across the state. This from the bipartisan infrastructure bill signed by President Biden in 2021. Wisconsin reworked its proposals for the money this year after the Trump administration ordered states to follow new rules to apply, which we did.
Mm-hmm.
And that included being technology neutral when considering project bids.
I've never heard that phrase in my life. I heard carbon neutral.
Technology neutral.
Isn't
I'm not even sure what that means.
Go ahead.
About 11% of Wisconsin still doesn't have access to high-speed internet. And as we know, I don't know how you get through a workday without the internet.
I mean,
without reliable internet. I mean, what we do is so based on access to information, you can't even apply for jobs anymore if you don't have the internet.
Not modern. No, honestly, I'm trying to think. You can walk into a fast food joint, turn in an application, but nowadays, you need access to the internet. Technology neutral means that regulations or standards focus on the performance or outcome to be achieved rather than mandating a specific technology or method to get there.
Okay.
But also, and people might say, well, people out in the rural area probably don't need as much. No, farmers need it all the time.
Absolutely.
People who are farming need the internet. They need to, their equipment, their, whether it's combine, thrasher, whatever, what they're doing in, if they have automatic milkers, those things are all hooked up to the internet. They're all running programs. They all need access to the rural area, needs the same technology, the same access, whether we're talking the internet, or hospitals, or schools, they need it just as much as we do. But yeah, everyone needs it. And this has been a problem for a very long time, getting the rural areas, all areas, the same access that the city centers do. And they're the last to get it.
They are. And they've been complaining about it, and justifiably so. Mm-hmm. Because again, we saw during COVID, during the lockdowns, good heavens, we had kids sitting outside of fast food restaurants to access their internet.
Yeah.
So they could do their homework.
Mm-hmm.
A 2025 report by the Governor's Task Force on Broadband Access, again, said about 11% of Wisconsin still doesn't have high-speed internet. Areas in northern, central, and southwestern Wisconsin are particularly underserved. If you would like to join us on this, 855-752-4842. Going back to that technology thing, Director Alyssa Kenney at the Public Service Commission of Wisconsin says the awards will go to a mix of internet service providers because there are spots throughout the state where not all the same technology apparently is applicable.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's what that was about.
Okay.
These entities, they say, will provide internet in different ways, 76% fiber, 10% fixed wireless, and 14% satellite. So not every technology can get to every location, which makes sense.
Yeah, it makes sense. But it's again, this is about getting people as much access as possible. And this is a good thing. Thank you, President Biden.
855-752-4842. Cindy from Appleton joining us on the line. Good morning, Cindy. What do you want to say about this?
Well, first of all, is something wrong with your 96.5 station? Because I can't get anything from that at all today.
Oh, we were not aware, so
we'll check on it now.
We'll check on it now, yeah.
Okay. And then as far as the internet, I was going to ask about satellites, but apparently I guess they can only service, I would think they could service just about any area, but I don't know. What do I know?
Well, it says again, we'll put this article in the show notes, Cindy, if you want to take a look at it. They say that again, sometimes depending upon where you are, it requires different ways of accessing internet. Mm-hmm. If people have internet in their homes, we found that they will stay to 2 to 3 weeks longer in that area. And that means that they'll stay in the community and yeah. they will shop locally and they will keep their money within the community.
It's about making communities attractive to people for people to move to. And
we keep talking about how Wisconsin's population is not growing. We are not attracting young families moving here. Mm-hmm. We have to be able to offer them basic internet.
There's a variety of things. I know people who don't want to move back either to or back to Wisconsin. And a lot of it has to do with the current legislature. And
well,
just,
and certainly the weather.
I mean, that not so much. I mean, like, yeah, if you live in California, maybe not. But I'm just talking about people from like Illinois or Michigan. And there are certain barriers. And one of them is that, you know, there's not a lot of access up north to certain things. So, yeah, I think that's something that the you know, is, should be a bigger conversation in Madison is if you want to make it more attractive for people, then how do you do that? What do you do? What partnerships do you build with communities, businesses to say, we want to grow this so people bring their families here
yeah.
and bring their dollars.
And they'll stay here.
Mm-hmm.
Comment on the live stream. Ms. RDT says the Dems better use Tiffany's name and his no vote on the broadband issue during the governor's race. Yeah. Be nice to see that come up.
Mm-hmm.
I certainly think that
yep.
counts. Again,
yep.
there's pictures of Tom Tiffany standing next to the Blotnick Bridge after that Tammy Baldwin helped bring that billion mm-hmm. dollars back to help fix that bridge. Tom Tiffany didn't vote for it.
Nope.
But he was there for the photo op.
Yes, he was.
They typically are.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Works out nicely.
Okay, well, that was long silence.
I'm continuing to look at this article. In Oneida County, the unique needs of the area make fiber the mm-hmm. gold standard as far as getting internet.
Yeah.
Fixed wireless for a county like mine is something that's not preferred because we're such a heavy tourist area. In the summer months, our population explodes. 50% of Oneida County is second homes. So if you have fixed Jeez. Wireless, the service isn't going to be enough.
Yeah.
So again, it's going to depend upon every county's specific needs and their different requirements. Mm-hmm. But still, this is a move forward.
Yep. The funding will be there, and that's a good thing, and that's good news.
It is good news. When we return, Dan Bongino.
Oh, God.
Part of the Trump administration, used to be a paid podcaster. He made a very interesting admission that we're going to share with you. Stay close. You are listening to Matt and Air on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air, Jane Matt Nair, Greg Mock, Dr. Slide on the board, coming to you from our home at Radio Park in Racine. You can join us, call or text or leave a comment if you're watching on live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Coming up in a little bit after the 9:30 news, Civic Media political editor and the creator of the multi-award-winning Recombobulation Area, Dan Schaefer, is going to join us, going to talk about Mandela Barnes.
We're going to talk about Mandela Barnes. We're going to talk about the congressional maps discussion, including
yes.
a very interesting non-quote given by a Wisconsin State Supreme Court justice.
Yeah.
And, you know, we'll probably be talking about the Tennessee election and what that means for Wisconsin in 2026 and some other fun stuff, including possibly private ponds. We'll see.
Yeah, private. I would really love to talk about yeah. that. Dan Schaefer coming up in just a little bit. And don't forget, you still have until 10 o'clock to grab your phone, open up the Civic Media app. You have to use the app mm-hmm. and text in the word flake. FLAKE. Flake is this hour's keyword for our multi-state text to win grown-up gift list contest. We have $200 up for grabs every day. and this is going to go through all of next week, along with three different grand prizes. So every entry will get you in the running for that $200 and one of those three grand prizes, but you have to enter using the Civic Media app. So text in the word FLAKE, F-L-A-K-E. You have until 10 o'clock. Tom Hartman will have a new keyword for you coming up in the 11 o'clock hour. We don't have a lot of time to spend on this, but I think it's important. The FBI's number two under Kash Patel is Dan Bongino. Dan Bongino, of course, was a podcaster.
Yes, a very, very right-wing podcaster.
Very much so.
Very on board with releasing all of the Epstein files.
Oh, at that time,
one of his chief goals on his show.
Right, right. And we had no problem making all kinds of claims when he was a podcaster. This actually came up. We're talking about the pipe bomber, the alleged pipe bomber who now has been arrested after the bombs that were left outside of the DNC and the RNC headquarters on January 6th of 2021. Dan Bongino talking to Sean Hannity last night. Calvin, can we play that clip, please?
You know, I don't know if you remember this. This is before you became the deputy FBI director. You put a post on X right after this happened. And you said there's a massive cover-up because the person that planted those pipe bombs, they don't want you to know who it is because it's either a connected anti-Trump insider or an inside job. You said that, you know, long before you even thought of as deputy FBI director.
Yes.
Yeah, that's why I said to you, this investigation's just begun. We are pretty comfortable. We have our guy. I think as the, again, legal process starts to surface and information and facts start to come out, the public's going to be very comfortable with the investigation that was conducted under Director Patel and his leadership. He's been great on this. But I don't want to, you know, listen, I was paid in the past, Sean, for my opinions. That's clear. And one day I'll be back in that space. But that's not what I'm paid for now.
Wait, stop.
I don't.
Stop.
Don't understand why he even said that. Like, he could have stopped it. We're doing an investigation.
He actually sort of responded to the question, which is shocking.
Yeah,
he is.
Yeah, we found a person. There's going to be an investigation and we'll have more for you. Thank you very much. That's it. Like, I don't even understand the point. Like, yeah, he was paid to do a podcast. He was paid for his opinion.
He was paid to lie.
Well, I mean, that's not.
He was paid to lie.
Okay.
He was paid to put forth certain things in order to make people crazy and gin things up. To me, that's what he admitted to last night.
Well, what I
is that he was paid to lie about it.
I don't know. I mean, for me personally, I don't hear what I hear is that I was a paid podcaster, which means that, like, whether he was lying or not, he knew what was going to get people upset. So he was going to say that thing, whether it was a lie or truth. I mean, Dan Bongino, I don't expect him to understand the difference because he's going to do whatever makes him the money and gets him the attention and got him that job, which, by the way, one of the things he said on his show, his former show, and before this all kicked off the past few months, the Epstein files are the most important thing. We got to release some Epstein files. And now he's one of the people saying,
there's nothing to see there. There's nothing there.
You know, guys,
No.
Hey, look, there's a pipe bomb suspect over there. We'll talk about that instead.
Shiny thing.
I mean, that brings the question is like whether he was paid to lie or whether he was using the money, using an opinion to make money. This is not the kind of person you want to have in positions of authority. Because they're not going to have an allegiance and they're not going to want to tell the truth. They're going to want to say whatever makes you either happy or the angriest.
Exactly.
So, like, that's for me, like, I hear what you're hearing, but I hear something else as well. Doesn't make it good at all because he should not have that job.
No, he shouldn't. And neither should Kash Patel.
No, absolutely not.
And there are, speaking of old Kash, there are some things coming up. Of course, we talked about how Kash is using government planes to go visit his girlfriend.
Yes.
So he can go see her perform. She's a country music star. Now there are reports. Well, whatever. Now there are reports coming out that not only does she get special secret service protection, but they are now taking her drunk girlfriend's home after a night out. She is having her security detail give her drunk girlfriend's rides home. Our tax dollars at work, everybody. It's all good.
Do you know what I think? I'm going to propose this. After this current administration, we take a four-year break from a president, and we just put into, like, a huge investigation for 4 years, and then we fix everything. We start over again, because I said it before, and I'm going to keep saying it. Whomever becomes president next needs three terms, because the next four, they have to fix
everything. It's just going to be cleanup.
Everything.
It's just going to be cleanup. News is coming up next, and then when we come back on the other side, Dan Schaefer will be here. Stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. We're coming to you across the Civic Media Radio Network. Don't go away.
I'm trying to think of...
Good morning and welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Buck, and Sweet Cal B coming to you live from our home at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. You can also leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. It is Friday, so that means we're going to do a little recombobulating. Dan Schaefer is here, Civic Media's political editor and the creator of the Recombobulation Area. Good morning, my friend.
Good morning, Jane. Wonderful to be here with you and Mr. Greg Buck on Matt Nair on Air, as it always is, to recombobulate on the week that was. And what a week it was.
What a week.
Another discombobulating week, Jane. We've had no normal weeks.
No.
I've been doing this Friday segment with you for quite a while now. I don't feel like I've ever come in and it's just been like, well, slow news week. Yeah. Nothing going on.
Let's just kick stuff around.
No discombobulating news to manage here. Yeah.
No. It's pretty consistently discombobulating.
Always is.
So let's start off with Mandela Barnes. I guess this is not a big surprise that he decided to throw his hat into the ring to run for governor.
Yeah, the worst kept secret in Wisconsin. Yeah.
Pretty much.
It seemed like.
Pretty much. And Marquette, yeah. Marquette did that early poll.
Marquette did the early poll.
Like, what, 2 months ago?
Well, so they didn't include Mandela in their poll.
No, that was a different
there
poll.
There was a different poll that did include
him. Oh, that's the one I was thinking
him.
Of,
yeah.
Right.
So Marquette has this policy where they don't. If somebody has not yet officially declared, they are not asking the question.
Fair enough.
That's a good idea.
Yeah. And so, like, the other poll, there was another one. I forget the firm that did it or whatever, but they had Mandela at, like, 16% and mm-hmm. most of the other potential candidates or currently running candidates in the single digits.
Right.
And so that is kind of where things were going in ahead of this. But I think, you know, people are wondering, does Mandela Barnes walk into this race as the front runner? And I would say no. And I'd say he's in the top tier of candidates, mm-hmm. right? I think yeah. because he ran a statewide race and has a lot of name recognition and is well-liked by many people in the state of Wisconsin, many Democrats in the state of Wisconsin, he's going to be in that top tier. But I don't think he's like the automatic front runner in this race.
I think this time around, he's got some very strong competition. I think yeah. Sarah Rodriguez is very strong. I think Kelda Royes is very strong. Don't forget about Francesca Hong.
Yeah.
She's kind of the underdog right now, but she has a lot of support.
She does.
And she's out there hitting doors and doing the work.
And I think David Crowley comes with an experience that really paints a picture of someone who can run a county, can possibly run a state. Now, granted, there's a lot of problems in the county that they need to deal with, but I think that I don't know about any of you, and Dan, you have your ear more to the ground on this, but since that poll and since I may or may not run, I have not heard anybody saying, yes, it has been very much a, okay. And so therefore that's, yeah. you know, the whole front runner thing. Absolutely. Cause there has not been a tremendous push from the Democratic side to say, oh, well, you know what, guys, Mandela's the guy. No one has said that. And there has been more than one article, one of them by you, saying that there is baggage that comes with a Mandela Barnes campaign. And we talked about it when it announced earlier this week. We said, it's just, it doesn't make me go, all right, let's do this. It's another candidate. He'll make his claim, but I don't see any big push and or big momentum for him, even from the get-go.
Well, and I think some of the issues that he had when he ran against Ron Johnson, those haven't gone away. Right. I mean, his record hasn't changed. His background hasn't changed. Some of the issues that he was a little snaky on about, what was it? He unpaid property taxes or
I mean, there were some little things. The property tax thing is actually a kind of a non-issue. If it's not Republicans will go after.
Yes,
him for.
And if it's not explained well, that's what they're going to take, and they're going to run with it.
Yes,
and I guess my point is again, those things have not gone away. He is still the same person. He still brings the same things to the table.
Yeah, I mean, I did see a lot of, you know, conservatives on Twitter and whatnot kind of excited that Mandela was running.
Oh, I bet.
And so I think they're, you know, I think they are happy with the result, right, of the race from a few years ago. And one of the points that I made when I did my piece, I don't know, about 6 weeks ago now, is called Barnes 22 Revisited. So it was looking at a Barnes 2026 candidacy through the prism of how things went in 2022, which I characterize that campaign of his as both overrated and underrated at the same time. And I think there were elements of his campaign that I really did not like. There were some specific ads, one that I called out, him unpacking the groceries, talking about the attacks against him. One of the worst ads in recent political memory. I absolutely hated it. But it's also like, look, this was a Republican advantage midterm when there was an unpopular Democratic president in the White House. That tends to mean the Republican in a 50-50 state like Wisconsin is going to have the advantage. And Mandela lost by 28,000 votes. It was the closest Senate race in Wisconsin in 100 years at that point. I think the Baldwin-Hovde race may have even been a little bit closer. But at the same time, it's, you know, he lost and people are worried about that. And so it's just like, well, my thought is like, if he's going to run it back with the same type of campaign that he ran in 2022, that's not what I'm looking for.
No.
I think that is, the times have changed. It's a different race from a U.S. Senate race versus a gubernatorial race. You know, you're talking about federal issues. You're talking about what's happening in Congress versus what's happening in Wisconsin, in the state legislature, on the ground with what people are facing in their day-to-day lives. And so I think that's a different dynamic, too. So my question from where you guys are sitting here, do you feel like his campaign launch this week and the initial rollout, does it feel like running it back from the same type of campaign as 2022, or do you feel like there is a different element to it right now?
I haven't heard anything different come out of him. And granted, I'm not a political consultant. I don't help do ads. The one thing I know personally I am so sick of are all of these generalized statements that every candidate says. Things are too expensive and we need them to be cheaper. This is wrong and it should be better. Well, that's all well and good, and we can all agree on these very general blanket statements. Yay, us. What are you going to do to make that happen? None of them offer specifics, and I am tired of these generalized, you bad, me good, vote me.
The kind of empty platitude.
Right.
You know, type, yeah.
Get specific. How are you going to make these things happen? Yeah.
I know that Democrats walk a finer line with this because Democrats tend to like to educate more in things, and you can't really do that, especially in a rollout of a campaign. But definitely for me, I echo what Jane says, in as much as when I heard the rollout, when I heard the audio of his announcement, it sounded like Tom Tiffany's too. They're talking about the exact same thing. So what are you doing to make me excited for your, I mean, when Sarah Rodriguez announced, she put together one of the coolest videos. Like, it was just energy. There was energy there. And Francesca Hong, I mean, she comes with power, and Kelda Royce is going to come with
she's got the experience.
Yeah.
She's got, you know, she's done legislating.
And I don't, I mean, and Dan, I've been meaning to ask you this for a while. I feel like, I know David Crowley has a lot going on, but I feel like he's been very quiet on the campaign trail right now. I mean, understood, we're very far away from the primaries, but I don't see as much from him. But also, he, of all the candidates, has the one who says, like, I can run a county, I can run a state. That, to me, is his advantage. With Mandela, I think it was a matter, and please tell me if I'm wrong, Was there a lot of stir before that poll? Was it the poll itself that gave him the idea to run, or was it always kind of in the background that we just didn't hear?
No, I mean, he was expressing interest even before that poll. And I had been hearing the noise that he was starting to get more interested as soon as Evers dropped out. I think before it was just, you know, I think a lot of Democrats were just like, if Evers is running again, we're going to support him.
Sure.
And having that posture both publicly and behind the scenes too. So I do think there is that element of it. To your point on Crowley, you're right. His campaign has been kind of quiet lately.
Yeah.
I think Kelda Roy's campaign has been kind of quiet lately too. Yeah. It's still, you know,
it's early.
It's
days.
Very
yeah.
early.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah,
and I do
yeah.
expect this campaign to be competitive all the way through to August. So I think you have to factor that in. For Crowley, you know, you mentioned the kind of leadership element of his campaign, I think he is going to have an opportunity to set himself apart with that executive experience.
Exactly.
He's the only candidate in the mix right now that has run, has been the, you know, top dog at a, at the most populous county in the state.
Yeah.
You know, nobody else can really compare with that kind of experience in the race just yet. And I also think, too, that comes with it, like, they just passed the budget in the county a couple weeks ago. Mm-hmm. So I think he was probably focused on his actual job. Yeah. And, you know, the flood relief stuff, like, it's been a busy, the crisis with the Milwaukee County Transit System, it's been a busy year to be the leader of to be the Milwaukee County executive. Yeah. So I think perhaps we might be seeing more from him and his campaign going forward. But I want to bring up a poll I ran this week.
On the recombobulationary.
Well, on my Twitter page, really. A nonsense, non-scientific Twitter poll. As I make very clear, this is not an actual poll. This is just a poll of just like the super online sickos like myself who are are following these things way too early. So the question that I posed is, with the 2026 governor's race in the news, let's try out another unscientific, totally nonsense Twitter poll. Question: in the Democratic Party, who would be your choice for governor? And I listed Mandela Barnes, David Crowley, Sarah Rodriguez, and other. Did you guys see the reaction to this?
I didn't see the results.
Did I vote?
Did you vote?
Maybe I did.
Maybe you did.
Yeah.
The overwhelming response in the comments, in particular, in this was that I should have included Francesca Hong in the poll.
Wow.
Everybody, I mean, and I know she has a very enthusiastic online supporter base. Mm-hmm. Maybe perhaps more of an online supporter base than some other candidates in the race. But a lot of people are just like, where's Fran? I want to vote for Francesca Hong. I put this on Instagram too. All of the replies was like, where's Fran? I'm voting Hong. That's other fill-in answer, Hong. So I think, to me, this says it's time to start thinking of her candidacy in a little bit different way too.
Yeah.
And I talked about her as the wild card in the race. I talked about in my initial kind of like thinking about it, you know, she's a state representative in one of the bluest districts in the state, and making a jump from that and being, you know, a declared Democratic Socialist to being on the map in a statewide race, that's a big jump. That's a very different race than anything she's ever run before. I tend to, you know, in these types of things, I tend to give a little bit more credence to people who have run and won very competitive, difficult elections, right? So I think, but I also think that she has the online enthusiasm for sure.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
And I do think it's time to start thinking of her candidacy in a little bit different sense, because in the early going, I was like, you know what? She's going to outwork everyone. She's going to make everyone work harder. Yeah. She absolutely is doing that. And I don't know if everybody else in the campaign has really upped their game.
Is ready
met
for that.
That type of energy that she's been bringing out of the gate here.
If you're just listening or joining us on Matt and Air on Air, Dan Schaefer is here, Civic Media's political editor and also the creator of the Recombobulation Area. We're talking about Mandela Barnes entering the gubernatorial race here in Wisconsin. Jenny on the live stream says, honestly, I don't want either party endorsing a candidate this soon. Primaries are an essential component of democracy. Let the people choose.
And I think that's what's going to happen. They don't. I mean, especially the Dems are not going to, unless Josh Shulman drops out, which his Twitter feed, there's no chance right now. But honestly, I think the important thing right now is doing what Fran's doing. Is I see her on Twitter all the time. No one else even posting as much as her. And that will make a difference over time.
We're going to keep recombobulating with Dan Schaefer. Stay with us. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. By the way, the word is flake. Text in the word flake, F-L-A-K-E. You have until 10 o'clock. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Flake is the word. Tim from Waukesha, it only took you three times. We had slake, we had slate. But I see you got it finally. You got flake. F-L-A-K-E. Flake is the word. You have until 10 o'clock to text that in via the Civic Media app to be in the running for those prizes. Tom Hartman will have your next chance coming up in the 11 o'clock hour and then the 1 o'clock hour that will continue all next week through all next week. So join us for that. But right now, the word to text in is flake. F-L-A-K-E.
Put your phone down.
Dan Schaefer is here, Civic Media's political editor, creator of the Recombobulation Area. we were talking about that very, very, very unofficial poll that you did.
That's right.
About the gubernatorial race. The one thing we didn't include was the responses.
Yeah,
I mentioned all
of the names. I didn't tell you the numbers that came through on this, which is kind of part of a important part of a poll. So in that poll, again, I'll just reset it here. The question that I asked on Twitter, again, in an unscientific, totally nonsense poll, in the Democratic primary, who would be your choice for governor? Mandela Barnes got 15%. David Crowley, 21%. Sarah Rodriguez, 24%. And other 40%.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Others very popular.
Others
right
very popular. Very popular. And as I said before, most of the comments about like who I should have included in the poll said that I should have included State Representative Francesca Hung, our friend and yours.
Yeah.
And I think one of the things to make clear, too, is that one thing that isn't discussed a lot is in that initial poll that had Mandela Barnes at 16% with all the others in single digits, a majority of the people were either picking other or not, like a not right now. Like, this is too early.
Way too soon.
So, like, we are at a place where people are still finding out about these candidates and deciding who they want. And Mandela's been in for less than a week, so people might not even know at this point either. So,
and I don't think the field is set yet either.
No,
I don't think we're done hearing from more candidates too.
Oh, you would think more Dems are going to jump in.
Yeah, I think there's one Democrat I think is very likely to jump in the race. I learned a little bit about this this week. Joel Brennan, who was the Secretary of the Department of Administration in Tony Evers' first term, he was previously the CEO of Discovery World, and he is currently the president of the Greater Milwaukee Committee.
Wow.
Pretty accomplished guy. He is very likely to join the race, source told me this week. I heard that he was out filming a campaign announcement video, as you know, and all of these campaign announcement videos. A quick aside on this, everybody's on the move now in these campaign announcement videos.
You can't just stand there
in front of anything. You've got to be on the move. Sarah Rodriguez was on the move. Mandela Barnes was on the move. Francesca. Everybody's walking and talking in all of these announcement videos.
It's very West Wing. It's very West Wing.
It's very West Wing. I know. You know, Zoran Mamdani certainly popularized that a lot in his campaign. Everybody's got to be walking. You can't just sit there in a campaign announcement. Well, you can't just sit behind the desk and say, hey, I'm running for governor. You got to be on the move.
But see, I think we can also credit Eric Hovde in sitting in the frozen lake. That obviously just sitting did not help him go very far. So the movement, you know, maybe if it had been walking back and forth, you know, in the lake, that would have helped him a little bit more.
A swimming video.
That might have been something, too.
Well, and I think I'm waiting then for the first candidate to do either a run or like a Matrix slow motion run while they're announcing too. Now it's just about creativity because CGI and AI is everywhere. You're limited only by your imagination. So let's see what we can get next. He works at Discovery World.
Did.
I mean, that place is amazing. So you can integrate that as well. I mean, I see limitless possibilities for campaign videos. Just tell me what you're actually going to do.
That would be nice. Little specifics.
Greg Bach can be your consultant on your campaign video.
No, do it again.
It's going to be interesting to see. We have a long way to go.
Yeah.
We have a long way to go. The Dems did. We lost the beer vendor already.
Yeah. He endorsed David Crowley.
He did. Mm-hmm.
And the Republicans lost somebody, too. Like, a couple people have dropped out. Remember Bill Berrien?
Yeah,
you
that's
don't,
right.
Do you? I remember, though, Dan, you saying this a few months ago. You feel like this is going to be, there are going to be a lot of candidates. And this right now, we've got a lot. But it could be even more, depending on who wants to put their... I feel like this gentleman, what's his name again?
Joel Brennan.
A non-politician putting his name in might inspire other non-politicians. Because right now, they're very politician-heavy, and you got a business person or someone who is politician-adjacent. That may make someone go, well, if he's going to do it, then I certainly can do it. So we'll see. I mean, we got a long way to go.
We do.
And I think it's going to be competitive all the way until August.
Yeah.
Too.
Yeah.
And I don't think this is going to be everybody drops out and endorses
and
Mandela
makes it
Barnes,
easy.
You know, like it was in 2022.
Probably
I don't
not.
Think that's going to happen.
Andrew from Maine texting and listening on WAUK. New conspiracy theory. Jane is retiring next week so she can announce December 15th her candidacy for Wisconsin governor for the Common Sense Party. Gosh,
there we go.
Andrew,
there
you busted me. No, Marjorie Taylor Greene and I are going to do a podcast.
It's gonna be the loudest podcast. Appointment listening for me. It would post in my podcast app, and I would hit play in seconds.
I'm working on it. Just give me a little time. News is coming up next. Stay with us. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air, coming to you across the vast statewide, countrywide. Yep, you can pick us up around the globe on the Civic Media Radio Network. Don't go away.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.